Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. In the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. We lit the first Advent candle, the hope candle, to remind us of the hope that Christ brings into the world, but also to remind us that Christ is coming again, not in weakness, but in his great power and glory. Advent is my favorite season of our Christian calendar, but it is also the most enigmatic season for me. I spent 25 years as an evangelical Christian, and I never heard the term Advent. We celebrated Christmas on Christmas Day, and the incarnation was our focus of commemoration and celebration. When I did hear the term Advent, I heard it exclusively in terms of a season of preparation for Christmas, a time when we watch and we wait, a self-examined time like Lent. This distinctive makes for a much more meaningful time, but the focus on preparing for the incarnation still made it a bit fuzzy for me. Fleming Rutledge came to my rescue in her book, Advent, the Once and Future Coming of Jesus Christ. It helped me to come to a clear understanding of Advent. She writes this: it would generally be agreed that Advent celebrates three Advents. Adventus Redemptionis, the coming of the incarnate Christ. Adventus Sanctificationis, the coming of the presence of Christ in word and sacrament. Adventus Glorificamus, the coming of Christ in glory to be our judge and on the last day. All of this is part of the Advent message. However, what has been largely lost to us since the 18th century Enlightenment is the primary focus on the second coming of Christ, who will arrive in glory on the last day to consummate the kingdom of God. That is, the special note of Advent is its orientation toward the promised future. The other seasons in the church calendar follow the events in the historical life of Christ. Advent, however, differs from the other seasons in that it looks beyond history altogether and awaits Jesus Christ's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. In the cycle of seasons and festival days that takes the church through the life of Christ, it is Advent that gives us the final consummation. It is the season of the last things. Fleming's observations are obvious when we look at our collects for the season of Lent. Throughout all of them, there is a reference to the second coming of Christ. The scripture readings during Advent about Nativity are few. They're only reserved for the fourth Advent. The readings for the first 3 weeks all contain references to Christ coming again. In our scripture lesson today, Jeremiah promises the Lord will fulfill his promise to Israel that he will cause a righteous branch to spring up out of David, and that branch will execute judgment and righteousness in the land. The branch has sprung up. Jesus completed the mission as one of us and to live and die as a sacrifice for the ungodly. He was raised from the dead to new life as the firstborn of new creation, and he ascended and was seated at the right hand of the Father on the heavenly throne. The branch has sprung up, but the execute justice and righteousness in the land part of that prophecy, that's still yet to come. We live in the in between of the coming and the coming again. Our world isn't right yet. It's messed up. We're messed up. At times, living in this messed up world can get pretty tough. We can get weary of the days when you just get the credit card paid off and you start putting away money thinking you're going to get that emergency fund fully stocked up. And then your washer, your dryer, and your dishwasher all go out at the same time and you have to pull your credit card out and start all over again. Or the day when the friend becomes an enemy and you can't believe that they believe what they believe about you. Or the day when your mom collapses in your arms and your whole world stops because you find out that she's much sicker than you thought. Or the day when your children grow up and all of them leave home and go to other parts of the world. Knowing that God is true to his promise to make all things right in our crooked world, we wait in this season of Advent with a sure hope that Jesus is coming again, not as a vulnerable baby, but as a powerful and a conquering king, a mercy-filled king, a just judge who will wipe away all the sorrow that we're living in, all the evil that we live with. With his final return, he'll undo all disease. He'll do away with the evil of racism and sexism. Hate of all kind will be gone with the delivery of justice for the victimized, for the weakest, for the most vulnerable amongst us. The oceans, they'll be free of the miles upon miles of plastic that we've dumped into it. No more global pandemics. No more children being abducted and never seen by their parents again. No more mass shootings. No more hurricanes wiping away homes and all of the contents accumulated in a lifetime with them. No more losing our loved ones to death or losing them to separation because of relational conflict. No more. Eusebius of Caesarea wrote this about the second coming of Christ. For at that time when the end of this perishing life shall be accomplished, and as the apostle says, the fashion of this world passeth away, then shall succeed a new world in which instead of sensible light, Christ himself shall shine as a sunbeam and as the king of the new world. And so mighty will be his glorious light that the sun, which now dazzles us so brightly, and the moon and all the stars, they'll be hidden by the coming of this greater light. Christ's coming again will bring healing and peace, joy, and unfathomable wholeness. But in the meantime, this weary world waits for this new world to come. We wait in hope. Our hope is predicating on knowing that our God is faithful to his promise to come and make it all right. The hope that our candle lit light represents to us is our good God's faithfulness in his word. But our gospel describes a terrible day, a day that not all people will anticipate with hope. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding for what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. On May 1st, 2024, the American Psychiatric Association published their annual mental health poll that showed U.S. adults are feeling increasingly anxious. In 2024, 43% of adults say they feel more anxious this year than last year. A quote from the poll: living in a world of constant news of global and local turmoil, some anxiety is natural and expected. But what stands out here is that Americans are reporting more anxious feelings than past years. This increase may be due to the unprecedented exposure that we have to everything that happens in the world around us, or to an increased awareness and reporting of anxiety. Either way, anxiety is the norm of our world. Luke writes, "People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken." When I think of the end of the world, the image that comes to my mind is a lone polar bear hugging a small piece of ice that's left afloat in what would have been all ice and now is only water. Or the image of a Western North Carolina woman standing knee-deep in mud, looking around at what was once was her home, but is now just a pile of building materials encased by the mud she's standing in. Both have no control over their environment. Both have lost their homes or are losing their homes, the places they feel safe. Both are facing uncertainty. All of the shaking are signs of redemption drawing near. But shaking fills people with fear, the kind of fear that makes them want to run. I mean, I think that's understandable. I think all of us that are here in this place can at some level relate. Fight or flight. It's a completely natural reaction to dangerous, out of control events. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. Revelation 6:17 describes the response of people. Fall on us, hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb of the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The question, who is able to stand, is answered in our gospel lesson. Notice what Jesus instructs his disciples in Luke's gospel. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand and raise your heads. Stand, don't run. Stand, don't ask somebody to fall on you and hide you. Stand. How do we as Christians stand and not run from the brightness of the Son of Man coming? By living now in the reality of Adventus Redemptionis, the living fully into the redemption brought to us by Christ when he came in the form of a baby, a living human being like us. He walked amongst us. He lived, died, resurrected, ascended, and has poured out the Holy Spirit from his Father and the Son to his church, so that his church could live presently in the Adventus Sanctificationis, in the presence of his word and his sacrament. That word and sacrament that we partake in through the experience of the corporate worship and our individual devotion. That is making us holy as he is holy. It's preparing us to stand with our heads raised in joy at his coming again, victorious in his Adventus Glorificamus. When he comes again in glory, the glory of his majesty, and we stand with our heads raised at the time to receive the restoration of our bodies, the completeness of our redemption, the receiving of our full inheritance, church, to live eternally with him and his saints in his new heaven and his new earth, forever and ever. That, my friends, is the hope we wait in. That is the sure hope of the light of this first Advent candle. Let us make this a season to revive our strength through prayer, to be alert to His Holy Spirit, listening on guard that we would not be weighed down with all of the worries of this life. In this time, in this wonderful season of Advent, may the prayers that we enter into lead us to His throne of grace, that we may be able to stand and raise our heads at His coming. Amen.